Welcome to InsessionFilm.com's Oscar podcast. This is J.D. Duran.
This is Matthew Mason.
This is Nate Parsons.
And today we are going to be talking all about the Oscars, which is going to be a lot of fun. And if you couldn't tell by that background music, which is my favorite of the year, which we'll get into that. That was from Wreck-It Ralph by Disney. How you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good. Glad to be talking about the Oscars. Been waiting for a while.
Yeah, super excited about Oscars weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over here in this next little bit. So, but before we get into it, there was one piece of news that we found out last night. We didn't get it up onto the website yet, but we had to talk about it, which is pretty interesting. So, Michael Bay, who is an interesting director, is doing the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which has kind of been a rumor for a little while. And, I mean, the rumor was they were going to do it, then they weren't going to do it, and I guess now they're doing it. And now Megan Fox is in the picture and has been casted, and that's via his official website. What do you guys think about that?
I'm pretty stoked about it. Megan Fox with Michael Bay works pretty well. I mean, Megan Fox sure is not lauded as the best actress in the world, but she always makes a movie fun. I even really enjoyed Jennifer's Body, which was pretty much hailed as one of the worst movies of, 2009, I believe. But I enjoy seeing her in film.
Yeah, I agree with Matthew. I'm really looking forward to seeing them work together again. I just don't know if they'll be able to top those 90s classics.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know how you like Jennifer's Body, for one. And two,
because of Jennifer's Body, that's why.
Because of Jennifer's Body. All right. Well, it should be interesting. I mean, the last that we knew, they didn't like each other at all. So I can only imagine what that conversation was like. But they apparently have made up and looking to make, hopefully, won't be a terrible version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All righty. Well, that's the only news we have. So, and since we're talking about the Oscars, which is going to be on Sunday, we are going to go through a bunch of these categories, and we are going to give our predictions as well as talk about the movies that were nominated and just kind of give our thoughts on it. So the very first one that we're going to talk about is Best Achievement in Visual Effects. And the nominees are The Avengers, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, Life of Pi, Prometheus, and Snow White and the Huntsman. What did you guys think about these nominees?
They seem like a fair selection this year. Albeit this has been a weak film year just in general. As far as visual effects goes, it's actually been a very strong year. I loved seeing the nominations of The Avengers, The Hobbit, Life of Pi, and Prometheus especially. Albeit I've not seen Prometheus or Life of Pi, but just from what I've seen in the trailers, they're quite stunning. I do really believe it's going to be going to Life of Pi this year from everything I've seen from clips and trailers and everything I've heard talked of on the internet and such, that it'll win. However, I would really love to see The Avengers take that, because that was pretty epic in terms of visual effects, in terms of how realistic a lot of it was. My understanding is Life of Pi is the same, though, too, in terms of realism.
Yeah, just to kind of, you know, feed off of that, like, The Avengers, I think, it could win it, and I know that's something Nate's about that is going to talk about. But when it comes to this specific category, I'm really rooting for Life of Pi, and I think that's the movie that I think is going to win. And I actually just watched this a few days ago, and the visuals in this movie and the imagery is amazing. It is incredible, and to take an idea in the story, and what was considered really something that you couldn't put into a screen, it's incredible. Like, I don't know if it's anything that anyone expected, but you know, kudos to the guys that did the visual effects for this movie and the direction and everything that went into this, because it's really, really, really good. But it's kind of interesting, though, with this movie, because the visual effects was done by a company called Rhythm and Hues, and they just went bankrupt, even though this movie made millions of dollars. And so there's actually a group of people that worked on this film that is supposedly going to do a protest at the Oscars you know, for this, all the work they did for this movie, and then the company goes bankrupt. So, kind of interesting on that point of it. But outside of that, when it comes to the movie itself, the imagery is just, it's just out of this world.
Yeah, the special effects for Life of Pi are simply incredible, especially when you consider that one of the main characters in the movie is a CGI tiger, which looks lifelike. I mean, you can't even tell it's CGI. But I still I think the Avengers will win just because it was one of the biggest movies of last year, and special effects was the only nomination it got. So I feel like that's a way they can reward the Avengers for doing so well at the box office.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And that's actually something I was reading online earlier today, too, was with it being the only nomination. And it's something you and I were talking about, of with it being such a huge blockbuster and the only nomination, like you said, it could very well could easily get this. But Life of Pi could also win this very easily, too. Like, it could really go either way, and I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I think one movie that doesn't deserve to be on this list is The Hobbit. I think other than Gollum, who looks way better than he did in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the rest of the special effects were mediocre at best. And were just, sometimes they're just silly. I mean, what'd you guys think of?
Yeah, I'll disagree with you there, Nate. Actually, visual effects were about the only thing I honestly enjoyed about The Hobbit. I will very much agree with the fact that Gollum was outstanding. That sequence down in the cave was the best I'd seen in anything in all of the Lord of the Rings series. But actually, I enjoyed the goofiness of the trolls, albeit like I didn't like the goofiness of the film as a whole, but as far as the way the visuals worked, it actually captured that feeling, that almost lighthearted feeling that the movie had compared to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, yeah. Which the visual effects there added to the really serious and epic tone of the originals. However, like I said, this one, the visual effects just really complemented it well. Were they better than the original trilogy? No. But I still enjoyed them well, and I thought they accented the film quite perfectly.
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you, actually. I don't think that it was necessarily the greatest, kind of like you were saying, when it comes to the whole package of the Lord of the Rings and all that sort of stuff. But I think when it comes to this specific movie, it does, comparatively to everything else, I think it's the thing that stands out. While I still don't think it necessarily maybe doesn't deserve to be on this list, when it comes to the movie, though, I do think it is one of the better things about it. But going back to Life of Pi real quick, and it's not just the tiger that's in that movie that's, you know, not real, but it's pretty much all the animals in that. And there's a lot about that movie that it's pretty much all visual throughout the whole thing. And there's lots of different animals that are in this besides the tiger. But with the tiger not only being an animal, but being really a character in this movie and having its own, with the tiger having its own identity, and it's really just kind of something that really, really, you know, it's a thing that draws you in emotionally, just the way that it acts and how it acts with the character in the movie. It's just really incredible. And I don't know about you, Nate, but the whale scene when they were out there at night and that whale comes out, it's one of the most visually stunning things of the whole year, not alone in this movie or any of these movies. It was really, really incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful, especially in 3D. I mean, the 3D in this movie just adds to the special effects because, I mean, they're subtle, and it makes it more immersive, and it's just really well done.
Before we move on to the next one, one thing that I really wanted to say about this category real quick is one of the nominees is Snow White and the Huntsman, and I was actually pretty surprised by this movie. Like, I liked it a lot better than I thought I did, and the visual effects on it were actually pretty good. So I don't necessarily think the acting was the greatest of the whole thing, and the story was okay, but the effects were pretty cool, and I think that's what really drew me in. And the score by James Newton Howard was really good too. So that was the thing that really surprised me with that one. I actually liked it for the most part. So, all right, moving on, we are going to go – into the music now, and we're going to go for our best original song, which we have J. Ralph doing Before My Time for Chasing Ice. We have a trio of people that wrote and did Suddenly, which was done by Hugh Jackman in Les Miserables. And then we have Michael Dana doing Pi's Lullaby for Life of Pi, which is really great, by the way, just throwing that out there. And we have Adele for Skyfall, for the movie Skyfall. And then maybe one of the most surprising nominees of the whole list, we have Walter Murphy and Seth MacFarlane for Everybody Needs a Best Friend for the movie Ted.
Yeah.
So how about that?
I honestly think this is a paltry excuse for a Best Original Song category this year. None of the nominations are anything amazing except possibly Adele's Skyfall.
I'm going to disagree with you big time. That's okay. Because... and I listened to all of these today. I did like Hugh Jackman's Suddenly, but Michael Dana and Bombay J. Shree and Pi's Lullaby is really, really good. And it really, I think, adds a lot to where they used it in the movie, and it's really fantastic. Now, saying that, I don't think it's going to win, but it is a really great song.
Yeah, I found all of these immensely boring except for Skyfall. I also did enjoy Everybody Needs a Best Friend. It's fun. I just love seeing Seth MacFarlane get an Oscar, early Oscar nod. I mean, other than that, I don't think it's that great. Skyfall, I do love, since Adele really is channeling Shirley Bassey, a la Goldfinger and Diamonds Are Forever. So that's kind of awesome to see that. Pi's Lullaby, I've listened to out of context, and I really do not enjoy it. I wanted to go to sleep to it, and if that was the effort... Yeah, it is a lullaby, so maybe that does actually do what it's supposed to. Suddenly, it's good, but it's a musical song, which, you know, is good, but I like to always see more from it. And then as far as Before My Time goes, I did really enjoy it. I believe Scarlett Johansson actually does vocals on that, and it's fun, but once again, same thing, is that it didn't capture me. But if I was to pick one that I'd want to see win, it's Skyfall.
Yeah, it's Skyfall for me, too. I mean, it's Adele. And she's going to be performing the song live at the Oscars. First and only time she's ever going to do it, she says. And that's one part of the show I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting, too, because I'm real interested to see her reaction when she wins, which she's going to win. While I like those other songs I just mentioned, she's definitely going to win. And I don't know if you guys saw her reaction when she won the Golden Globe for this, but she gets up there and acts like she was so surprised, as if no one else was going to win that. And her reaction just really made me laugh. So maybe she won't be as surprised this time. So I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting.
I think actually at the Golden Globes, there was a greater selection of original songs to pick from. With Jon Bon Jovi being nominated and Taylor Swift's Safe and Sound from The Hunger Games. So I could actually see that reaction a little bit more. But as far as this one, yeah, hands down, she's going to get it.
And moving on, we are going to now be talking about Best Achievement for Original Score. In this category, we have Dario Marianelli for Anna Karenina, Alexander Desplat for Argo, Michael Dana for Life of Pi, John Williams for Lincoln, and Thomas Newman for Skyfall. Who do you guys like for original score?
I like Michael Dana for Life of Pi. I thought out of these selections, which weren't the greatest, I mean, there were some big ones that were snubbed, like, say, Cloud Atlas for one. But I really liked the score in Life of Pi. It just really added to the overall feel of the movie, especially since there's a lot of scenes where there's really not a whole lot being said or being done, and you kind of need that music to kind of relay what's going on, and I think it just works really well, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to agree with Nate here. I think this is, once again, not the best selection that could have been nominated. My favorite score of this year was Dan Romer and Ben Zeitlin's score for Beasts of the Southern Wild, which was one of the most epic and heartfelt scores of any film this year. And to see that kind of snub was sad, given that it was nominated for so many other areas. But as far as the actual nominees go, I've listened to four of the five. I've not listened to Anna Karenina. But I'd say my favorite's probably Andrei Desplat's Argo. It really just heightened the film. It added to the tense feeling of the film throughout, just really heightening that. John Williams' score for Lincoln is unfortunately a John Williams score. It's sweeping, it's epic, it's pretty cool, but it still has the really just overt sound he's trademarked for and just does not, I don't know, it just feels manufactured rather than real. Thomas Newman's Skyfall, it's a stretch for him, and I really love seeing that because Thomas Newman's really known for doing more minimalist work, and to see him really incorporate old Bond and new Bond sounds into one, as the film did as well, incorporating old and new Bond. It was very good, but I just don't see the Academy recognizing that. And Life of Pi, I've listened to the soundtrack once again out of context. I like it, but I just don't know enough to comment how it works with the film.
It works really great with the film. I can promise you that. I'm on Nate's side with this one. I like Michael Dana the best in here. It really fits the movie perfectly. And I even enjoy it outside of the movie, just listening to it on its own. I really enjoy it. I like the nice tones and, that comes with it. It's very soothing, very laid back, I feel like, but it really fits the movie perfectly. And there's times throughout the movie where when it's more serious and more dramatic, it really comes to that, and it's really great. I don't really particularly like Thomas Newman's Skyfall score. It was okay. It's not my favorite from Thomas Newman at all. I did like Skyfall, don't get me wrong. It just wasn't my favorite. Alexander Desplat's score for Argo was actually pretty good, and Nate kind of referenced it in his review of Argo, which you can read on the website at incessionfilm.com. But it really heightened the score, kind of like what you're saying. It really, in the most dramatic parts of that movie, really took that movie to another notch, in my opinion. But that being said, that's not Desplat's best score from the whole year, and his best score from 2012 was not even nominated, and that was his score for Moonrise Kingdom, which was amazing. And the music in that movie is just incredible. And I kind of wish that one would have got more recognition than what it did. And Marinelli's score for Anna Karenina was okay. But by far, looking at this list, Michael Dana is the one that really stands out to me the most, by far. Speaking of the snubs, and one of my favorite scores from 2012 that also wasn't nominated, besides Moonrise Kingdom, was the score we played at the beginning, which was Wreck-It Ralph, which was probably my favorite score from any animated film ever. And it's really incredible. The tones just bring out like a lot of happy feelings, and it's really upbeat, and it's really great. And if you've seen the movie, there's a lot of cartoonish video game kind of tones to it and beats to it, which is just really fun. And it gets real serious in the dramatic parts of the movie. It's a really, really great score, and it's accompanied by some really great music that added to the soundtrack a lot. So I kind of would have loved to have seen that one get nominated, although it doesn't fit the bill for the Academy at all. But it was really, really great.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I just saw Ralph this week, and I was kind of blown away by the soundtrack. I left the theater and then immediately downloaded it because I thought it was that great. Yeah, it just has that old school video game feel and newer video games.
Yeah.
It has the almost, you know, the Mario sound, and then it really has like, you know, Halo Modern Warfare music in there too. And to see Henry Jackman be able to bridge that gap and put that together is amazing. And as well as the rest of the music you talk about in the soundtrack, I mean, that a soundtrack can have Owl City and Skrillex on it and it still be a cohesive piece was pretty awesome to see that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I stand behind it with you there. I'm really feel like it got snubbed because it was one of the better scores of this year.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it a lot. If you guys haven't heard the score or the soundtrack from that, go get it. It's great. And it's also on Spotify, so if you have that, you can go listen to it at any time. Moving on, we are going to skip a couple of categories. If you look at the list on IMDb or any other website, we are not doing all of them. We're actually only doing 13 of the categories. And the next one that we are doing is cinematography. And the nominees for this list is Anna Karenina, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Skyfall. So out of these lists, Nate, who do you like?
For me, this is pretty easy. I think it's Life of Pi. We've already talked about it. The visuals in this movie are incredible. Especially one where there's a shot of a ship sinking as a main character looks on. That's kind of chilling, really. But the way it was shot is amazing. I mean, it really was. And then other shots throughout the movie are just gorgeous.
Yeah, with my understanding, Life of Pi will win this. Once again, I've not seen it, but once again, what I've seen of it, I love the look of it. Django Unchained, the cinematography in that was actually quite brilliant. Just the way, it has almost a grainy quality to it, which I'm going to want to talk about Argo in just a sec about that, the same deal. But to see that come through and how that heightened the feeling of the film, Django would be the one I would pick, at least of the four that I've seen here.
Yeah, I agree with you on Django. It's not my pick, but when you look at that movie, there's so many shots in that movie that are visually just real stunning. And you know, I'm thinking about the scene at the end where there's just shooting and chaos everywhere. It's amazing.
Complete tribute to the Wild Bunch there, which I just love. Tarantino being able to channel, you know, old spaghetti westerns without feeling he was mimicking them. And then I wanted to talk about Argo, that was not nominated. That was actually one of my favorite shot films of this year. Ben Affleck actually filmed it, he filmed it at normal size, took the film, blew it up to 200%, and then cut it down so that it actually had a grainy look, so it looked older to it, and the entire film carried that. And man, did it make it, you know, actually have that feeling the entire time. Like, even from the start with the old school Warner Brothers logo, everything about that film, just the way it looked, was perfect. And I cannot believe that the Academy overlooked it and did not nominate it for cinematography.
Yes, there was a bunch of great shots in that movie as well. So, like, I love how they did them going through the airport and all that sort of stuff at the end.
And the comic book sequences.
Yeah, the comic book stuff was incredible. Yeah, that stuff was really great. So, for me, while I like what you just said, Matthew, I think Life of Pi wins this pretty easily too. Now, there are some actually pretty great shots for Anna Karenina also, that were really gorgeous and stunning. I didn't really particularly care for the movie a ton, but when it comes to cinematography, it actually has some really great shots that it definitely is worth the nomination in my opinion. But Life of Pi, I think, steals this away. And if you've seen the movie and you look at these nominees for this category, nothing really comes close in my opinion. Just what Ang Lee did and Claudio Miranda did with the cinematography in this movie, it's stunning, and it's beautiful and it's gorgeous, and it really draws you in. And I love everything they did with the tiger and the main character in this movie. It's done really, really well, and should win this category pretty easily. Moving on, we are now going to Best Animated Feature Film of the Year. And the nominees for this one is Brave, Frankenweenie, Paranorman, The Pirates, Band of Misfits, and Wreck-It Ralph. What do you guys like for animated?
My favorite of any of these would have to be Wreck-It Ralph, although I do not believe it's going to win. Wreck-It Ralph just captured my imagination. I loved just the levels of humor that the film offered, in terms of, you know, stuff the kids were laughing at and then stuff I was laughing at, that the, you know, puns that just went over the kids' heads. But actually, this is a pretty solid film list this year. Brave was a lot more epic and a lot more worthy of praise than I thought it would have been, and just captured my heart a lot more than I would have thought a film about a redheaded Irish girl, or I'm sorry, Scottish girl, would have. I enjoyed Frankenweenie mostly just for its horror film references, but otherwise it was not my favorite movie of this year, but I enjoyed it. Paranorman, same kind of feeling. And The Pirates Band of Misfits is a very overlooked animated film from this last year, from the makers of Chicken Run and Wallace and Gromit. It's actually got a wonderful sense of humor, and I think just really got played off because of the title as just a kid's movie, but there's a lot more to offer there. So as far as my pick, I'd pick Wreck-It Ralph, but I think the Academy will pick Brave.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Wreck-It Ralph was my favorite animated movie of the year. I just loved its originality and the fact that it involved video games, which I love. But I think Brave's going to win. I mean, it's Pixar. Pixar has pretty much dominated this category since it started in like 2001, 2002. They've won 6 out of the 11 times or something like that. So, I mean, I'm going with the odds, and I'm just going to say they're going to go for Brave, even though I liked Wreck-It Ralph more.
Yeah, that's kind of upsetting to me a little bit, because while I liked Brave and I liked the score from it too, I don't think the story holds up very well comparatively to some of these other ones. The story, I think, takes some weird turns, especially towards the middle part of the movie. I think it comes together at the end, but when it comes to a story, Wreck-It Ralph is just way better in terms of a story, I think. And it's very unique and original, and just has lots of different elements that is just really put together really well. And if you know video games really well, you really love this, because there's so many video game innuendos in this movie that it's incredible. And I don't know, I really love it a lot. I mean, all the way around, I think it's easily the best film out of these characters, or out of all the nominees out of this category, I mean.
I think another thing that Brave has going for it is the fact that its hero is a female. And that's something you don't usually see in most movies, especially animated movies. So I think that's definitely going to work in its favor.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Nate there. I think that's one of the reasons the Academy is really going to look at this one and nominate it. I think Wreck-It Ralph is just a little too soon. The Academy's still older people, no offense, but yar. And they're going
to... It's okay, you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, but they're much more going to want to recognize, you know, a film that actually has an older feel, a much more heartfelt message. Not to knock Wreck-It Ralph, it really did have a heartfelt message, but I thought Brave wore it more on its sleeve than Wreck-It Ralph did. And once again, Pixar.
Yeah, and the fact that it's Pixar, and that is a good point, Nate, that you bring up about you know, having a female lead in there for it. So, yeah, I mean, it probably will win, but I like Wreck-It Ralph to win. And what'll be really neat to see what happens, though, is out of these nominees, Wreck-It Ralph has won the most awards already, easily. Now, Brave did win the Golden Globe for animated, but Wreck-It Ralph actually has more awards up to this point.
But also the competition, I think, for the Golden Globes for animated film was not as stiff with, was it Hotel Transylvania and Rise of the Guardians, albeit I've not seen it. I've heard good things about Rise of the Guardians. However, I thought Frankenweenie was still quite a good film in terms of, I've not seen a really stunning Tim Burton film probably since Nightmare Before Christmas, because I didn't think Corpse Bride was anything special. And then Paranorman and Pirates are good, but same thing. I think they're higher quality than some of the Golden Globes. So it could be a tight race, but I see it going to Brave.
I did like Rise of the Guardians too. It was pretty good, and I really enjoyed it. And I actually really enjoyed Hotel Transylvania too. And in terms of a story, I probably like that better than Brave too. But I did like Brave. Don't get me wrong. I did think it was a good movie. But I ultimately, it'll probably end up winning because of the Pixar name. Quite honestly, it's a brand, and the Academy likes it. So, moving on, we are going to, before we actually move on to the next category, we're going to do a little bit of a break here, pay the bills a little bit. And this podcast, as with all of our podcasts, is sponsored by Phoenix Blue Marketing and Advertising. You can follow them online at phoenixblue.com to get all your marketing and advertising and design needs taken care of. You can follow them on Twitter at @PHX_blue. Also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/PHXblue. We're going to be moving on now to the writing categories. And the first one we're going to do is Best Adapted Screenplay. And the nominees for this one is Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Silver Linings Playbook. Pretty good list here, fellas. Who do you like?
Yeah, this is actually another category that I honestly like the nominations for. My favorite out of all of this is Beasts of the Southern Wild. That's a film that's just resonated with me this year because of, I don't know, it doesn't seem like an idea that would ever translate well to film. My understanding is it was a stage play before. It wasn't. I have no clue how it worked as a stage play. I'd love to see it. But there's just such a world created from words on a page that I just could not have seen it. But with Ben Zeitlin at the helm, he really was able to bring that to life. So that's my favorite. As far as some of the others go, Lincoln was good adaptation. I enjoyed seeing it kind of come to life. But and then Argo, same deal. It was really just fantastic to see this history be more than just like a documentary. It was actually, oh, this is tense. This is really awesome to get to watch and see how all these guys pulled this off with, you know, lives being on the line. Silver Linings Playbook, I'll talk more about it later, but just disappointing. And then once again, I've not seen Life of Pi.
So who do you like to win?
I'd like to see Beasts of the Southern Wild, but I believe Silver Linings or Argo is the ones I'd see as front runners.
My take on this, and this is a hard one for me to choose. I really loved all of these movies. I haven't read any of the books that it was, you know, based on or anything like that. But from everything I read online, and I've seen all of them, and from the ones that I've looked at and researched, the one that I like to win, and we've talked about this movie a lot already, is Life of Pi. And that's mostly because a lot of people say that this movie was unfilmable based off of the book. And to know that and to see what Ang Lee did with this movie and to see how incredible it is just visually and with the story and with them being on the sea for 227 days, that is hard to film. And he does a phenomenal job with it. It's absolutely terrific. And it really draws you in emotionally, which is incredible for a story like that. It's hard for me to see it not winning. But that being said, the other nominees on here are really good. You know, Beasts of the Southern Wild is a terrific movie. And again, I haven't read the book, but when I watched the movie, it was incredible. I think what they did with this is just amazing. You know, Ben Zeitlin did a really great job directing this movie, and especially with such a young lead actress in this. You know, he really did a phenomenal job. Those would probably be my favorites to win, and I'd like to go with Life of Pi in this category.
Yeah, JD stole the words right out of my mouth with Life of Pi. That's my favorite to win it. But I also really enjoyed Beasts of the Southern Wild, even though I'm still not quite 100% sure what's going on in that movie. But it was captivating. I really enjoyed watching every minute of it. And one thing I found out I read today about Lincoln was that the script was originally 500 pages long. So, yeah. So to make,
well, how long is the script normally? Like, what, and comparatively to what?
Not 500 pages long.
Yeah, my understanding, I think, is around 150 or so is a pretty normal length of a script. Hour and a half, 2 hour long film.
Yeah. So considering they were able to condense that into 3 hour movie, I mean, that's pretty incredible. But yeah, I'm still going with Life of Pi.
Which is interesting because on the website today in our predictions, you picked Lincoln out of this category. But he forgets.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nate, you said you didn't know what was going on in Beasts of the Southern Wild. And say, to quote Hush Puppy herself, once there was a hush puppy and she lived with her daddy in the bathtub. That's what was that's, going on.
That's what was going on. So, now I know. But now he knows. But it was... I love that movie. I thought it was really good, and I love the metaphors they had in that movie. They were you know, especially to bring the metaphor to the forefront visually, I thought was really great.
Yeah, and actually, just a little side note, given with Beasts, as far as visual effects, the Beasts in Beasts of the Southern Wild was one of my favorite things visually
this
year.
Yeah, it was great.
Because the Beasts are not this super terrifying entity, they're still scary, but still maintaining real, still being realistic, rather than looking goofy or anything like out of a horror film. It's like, oh, this could be real. And as a, like, what, 7-year-old child seeing that, it's scary, but she's still able to look at it and actually conquer that fear. And just seeing, like you said, seeing that metaphor come to life was just really amazing. And it all came from, you know, this apparently pretty cool stage play all the way to film.
Yeah, it's incredible. Moving on to the next category, we're going to do Best Writing for Original Screenplay. And the nominees are Amor, Django Unchained, Flight, Moonrise Kingdom, and Zero Dark Thirty. So now with this category, there are some films in here we haven't mentioned yet. So what do you guys think about this category?
I think easily Django's going to win this year. It's not my favorite out of them by any means, or my favorite Tarantino film. Django Unchained has a pretty awesome script and story. They can really go from really hilarious to really heartbreaking in just an instant, and so I really appreciate that. And Zero Dark Thirty was admirable, but I don't really know why it's in this category. I think some of the visual effects in the film and some of the acting was what made it, but the story itself was okay at
best. Nate, you found out some stuff on Zero Dark Thirty just a little bit ago, right?
Yeah, I was watching an interview with the director, Catherine Bigelow, and she said that they actually had like 3 or 4 different scripts, and they've started it way before even 9/11. So once 9/11 happened, they had to add that to the story. And then once the Bin Laden thing, once he was killed, they had to add that to the story. So, I mean, they've been working on this for a really long time.
That's pretty awesome to see that happening. I didn't know that backstory.
And the writer for this, Mark Boll, is actually an investigator reporter. So it's something that's been close to him for a long time. And I think it has that sense of realism that they bring to the movie because of that.
I see that and I respect that. It's just, to me, that didn't come out in the film, and I wish it had. Like, it certainly shows they did their research, but I don't know. Like, all that cool stuff, to me, was cooler than the movie itself. So, and then my favorite of this entire category is Moonrise Kingdom. I'm a complete Wes Anderson fanboy in anything that he does, but Moonrise Kingdom actually rose to be my favorite of his films, where Royal Tenenbaums had once been. And I love seeing that it got nominated this year. It's such a just heartwarming, hilarious story of two kids who fall in love with each other. And it is so quirky and just such a just independent gem. To see it get recognition at the Academy Awards, you just kind of warmed my heart. However, I doubt the Academy will recognize it.
That's actually my prediction. Like, I want to agree with you that they'll probably go with Django, but my heart really says Moonrise Kingdom, and that's what I really want to win.
Which I'd love. That would make my day.
Yeah, and everything that you just said, I mean, with what Wes Anderson did with this movie is really good, and you just really get captivated by, you know, a bunch of kids that fall in love and kind of run off, and, you know, the way they really made this movie was really incredible. I love the story from the very beginning all the way through. It was really great. I do tend to disagree with you a little bit on Zero Dark Thirty. I do think the story was really well done. And Nate was even telling me a little bit that in that interview with Bigelow, she was saying that the time from them launching and doing the raid was almost in real time, right?
Yeah, the raid itself took something like 45 minutes, and in the movie it takes about 30 minutes. So for the most part, yeah, it's all real time. And
yeah, and that's absolutely my favorite sequence in that film.
Yeah,
it was
great.
It was a film I was kind of turned off from at first because of all the torture, but then that raid sequence has to be one of my favorite I've actually seen in any war film. ever, to be honest. I couldn't see anything topping that. But once again, I don't know if that, to me, it doesn't come out that that was a script element. That feels almost more like a visual or directorial element for me.
Yeah. I think from the script part of it, I loved that they kept to a lot of their research and based off of what everyone's saying and what they're doing in the interviews is that it's very realistic and almost verbatim, you know, what supposedly happened over there. I think the biggest thing that Zero Dark Thirty has going for it in any of the categories is the controversy surrounding it, kind of like what you mentioned with all the torture scenes and stuff like that and all the political stuff that surrounds it. I kind of think that's a travesty in my mind because I don't think politics should have anything to do with this. From a movie itself, it's really good, and I really enjoyed it itself outside of the politics that goes along with it. But my favorite in this category is still Moonrise Kingdom, and it's the one that I enjoyed the most. It's the one that I would like to see. I do think it is the best story of all these, although Django is really good, not to knock it.
One of the films we've actually not talked about is a more, it's a film I really love seeing it nominated here because this story we've just not really seen before. At least I'd say mainstream American audiences probably haven't seen anything like this before, but to just see the story of an elderly couple, just film chronicling their relationship and watching the husband just take care of his wife as she loses it was quite stunning. It's a very quiet, reserved film, and a lot of that, as just reflected from the script, is there's no real action in the film. But it does come across and is quite gripping to watch for, gosh, I think about an hour and a half, or 2.5 hours, actually. But yeah, I'd love to see it get some love, but I don't think it will.
Yeah, and kind of going off that a little bit, like what you were saying, like the story is actually really, really good. And some of it's really hard to watch, like you were saying. I mean, to see this guy going through what he's having to go through and taking care of his wife, and then on the wife's side of it with her, you know, suffering through all that and going through what they did, it was incredible to see how that was. And like you were saying, the biggest thing with this is it's very different, I think, for American, you know, the American audience. I think this will run away with the foreign film, but I don't know. As far as other categories, it should be pretty interesting. Nate, what do you think about this category?
I'm kind of with Matthew. I like Moonrise Kingdom, but I'm going with Django. The dialogue, like any other Quentin Tarantino movie, is impeccable. It's just, I don't know how to really describe it other than that, but I mean, it's just funny, it's sad, it's serious, and the things the characters say, yeah, there's a lot of F-bombs and some bad words, but I don't know, I feel like it's a script that you could just read and not see on the screen, and you'd still have as much fun with it, you'd still enjoy it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I really enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I'm not knocking it by any means by picking Moonrise Kingdom. It's an incredible story. And I mean, I like pretty much everything he does and that he puts his hands to. So it's hard for me to go against this. If he wins, I'm not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a big surprise or I'm not going to be upset or anything like that. I like Wes Anderson, and I like Moonrise Kingdom in this, and that's the one I want to see. But by no means is Django, you know, it's right up there. It probably will win. Moving on, before we actually get into the next categories, I just wanted to let you know right now we are actually running a contest on our Facebook page right now. We're going to be giving away a whole bunch of movie tickets where you can win a whole month's worth of free movie tickets. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page and like the page, and there's a link that where you go to on our website, and all you do is tell us your favorite movie of all time. It's very, very simple. It's very easy, and you can win a chance to go to see a lot of movies for free, which is awesome. And that's facebook.com/InSessionFilm. Also follow us on Twitter at InSessionFilm. So be sure to follow us on social media and check us out on the website. Like I said, you can subscribe to these podcasts on our website. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. We are now on iTunes, which is really cool. And we're very excited for that. So so be sure to follow us and join us and comment. And, you know, you can also email us at info@incessionfilm. So send us any sort of feedback, and we'll definitely get back to you as soon as we possibly can. So moving on to the next category, we're getting into some serious stuff here, boys. We're going for best director. So for this category, we have Michael Haneke and Amore, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook, Steven Spielberg and Lincoln, and Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild. So who do you guys like for best director?
Well, I believe for the website, I picked Steven Spielberg. Is that right? Yeah. I'm actually going to go away from that. I'm going to go with Ang Lee.
Nate, how come you always keep lying to us, homie?
Well, I've been thinking about it all day, so, and I'm allowed to change, so. I just think what he did with, I mean, we've already talked about the visuals, but then what he did, I mean, he took pretty much an actor who has never acted before, and Serge Sharma, and he's pretty much carries the movie, and his ability to do that is astounding. And then, I mean, to work with the CGI and to pretty much make what most consider an unfilmable movie, I mean, I have to go with Ang Lee.
Yeah, I'm going to play off of that too. I've, once again, not seen it. I'm really getting excited to watch it now from everything you guys have been talking about. But you're talking about Ang Lee, you know, having a protagonist who'd never acted before. So did Ben Zeitlin. Ben Zeitlin was also, he had Quvenzhané Wallace, and I just love her name because it's, well, it's awesome.
It is an awesome name.
And other just complete unknown actors who made the entirety of this cast and the two leads of Quvenzhané and I don't remember the guy's name, but the father Wink, they carried a film as if they'd been acting forever. And one of them is like, what, 7 years old?
She was six when they filmed that.
Oh, yeah. So she's 6 years old, and she carries the film better than Meryl Streep. So to see that was ridiculous. And the fact that Ben Zeitlin, never having made a feature-length film before, was able to pull that all off, I think I'd love to see him win. I really doubt, though, he's going to get it. I'd lean towards seeing Ang Lee get it, or possibly David O. Russell. There's been so much talk about David O. Russell this year. And I just, yeah, I'll wait on my hate. I'll let y'all talk first.
There's, man, this category is really difficult to me, and I'm not exactly sure where to go with it. For the website, I also picked, like you, Nate, I picked Steven Spielberg to win this. But that's a really difficult choice. I mean, I loved Spielberg's Lincoln. I thought it was fantastic, and I love everything he did with it. And especially using such a great cast, and I loved such, to me, I feel like this would be a difficult story to tell well, and get a lot of people intrigued with just because of the politics. And there's a lot of history that also goes into it that could make it difficult. And I thought Spielberg really captured the magic of what the essence of the movie really was supposed to be about. And I thought it was done really well. And kind of like what you were saying, Matthew, with Beasts of the Southern Wild. I mean, that movie is, what he does with that is just really incredible. And it's a really neat story. And I'm not sure how many people know about that kind of stuff actually exists. And I remember watching an interview with him on the Colbert Report where he was talking about people that actually live down there and you know, seeing them in that environment and how crazy and different it really was. I tend to lean more toward with you, Nate, though, with Ang Lee and Life of Pi, with what he does with this movie. Kind of like what you were saying, Suraj Sharma, who plays Pai Patel in this movie, is unknown. This is his first gig. In fact, a neat story about him is he went into the audition with his brother. His brother was auditioning, He just went with him. His brother asked him to go, and he went in and did it himself just for the heck of it, ended up getting the part, which is really neat. And then just kind of see, when you see him in interviews and stuff, he's just really humble, just really grateful to get to be a part of it. And he's just a really emotional guy, and he just really pulled it off really well. He did such a great job with it. It was really terrific, really well done. And I don't know, kind of like with what we've been saying before and what you were saying, Nate, just visually it's great. And the music is great. He got so many different elements of this. He pulled together really well, that really, I think, maybe puts it above Lincoln a little bit. Nate, I know, did you have something else to say about this?
The main actor who you're talking about, Sharma, he's only like 18, 19 years old. So, I mean, like you were saying with Q Wallace, I mean.
Poor Vengeance.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't work on my pronunciation before. But yeah, so you got these two young actors who, I mean, really carry their respective movies.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and finally have my little cathartic interlude about David O. Russell and how much I hate that he's on anything this year. Never been a David O. Russell fan. And except minus The Fighter, but then again, he didn't write it. I do think he directed that film quite masterfully.
But that's what we're talking about, is directing.
Yeah, is directing. But so looking at the direction of the film, Silver Linings Playbook is a run-of-the-mill romantic comedy. To me, there is very little that makes it stand out in terms of anything, in terms of performances or whatever. And I kind of like seeing, you know, him nominated in the fact that it's like, hey, you can do anything and be nominated for an Academy Award. But, yeah, I don't know why he's up for this
well,
category, to be honest.
I'm going to disagree with you. I loved Silver Linings Playbook. I thought it was very good. In the review that you can read on the website and insessionfilm.com, I actually gave it an A. I thought he was terrific. Now, I do agree with you. I tend to not like hardly anything that he does except The Fighter. Which we talked a little bit about last week on the podcast, but I thought he does a great job with this movie. I thought it was really well done. I thought he had a great script, which also helped him out. And I thought he got great performances though, out of his actors and actresses. I loved Jennifer Lawrence in it. I loved Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro. There's so many different nominees from this movie, all over the place, which, as the director, he's got to pull that out of them. I thought he got a decent score out of it. I thought the visuals were okay, but I love how he took the script and really put it together really well, which is hard for him, I think. I mean, I think this is by far his best movie, except maybe The Fighter. But I think it deserves the nom big time. It was very good. I really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Does he deserve the nom over, say, Ben Affleck or Quentin Tarantino or Catherine Bigelow?
Probably not over those necessarily. I'm not. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not going to be upset about him being nominated. Now, that's a good point. I think Affleck and Bigelow probably deserve to be here in this category, but I don't necessarily think that Russell doesn't deserve to be there.
As far as Ben Affleck goes, this was his best film he's directed so far. I mean, Gone Baby Gone was a highly impressive film for a first directorial effort. And then The Town was pretty good, but I thought had some flaws. However, Argo was a almost unquestionably perfect film. And to see him be snubbed and to see David O. Russell in his place is just a little bit shameful, and so I'm not happy all around with the directing category this year.
The thing with it though is, like, I feel like if they would have expanded this category, you get everything you get from the best picture. I think the reason all those films were nominated for best picture is because they were really good and they really deserve it. And I think when you're picking out of five here, and that's pretty much all they do, is they took five from the best picture category and we're like, let's just pick five and we'll go see what happens. And based off of that, there's obviously going to be some that are that don't get in here. If I had to take out one, it might be Michael Henneke for Moore. That would probably be the one that I would replace. Outside of that, I love the other ones, but I also loved Django Unchained. I thought he could have been there too. And like we've said, Argo with Affleck, that probably is his best film. Although I loved his other stuff that he's done too. And I liked Zero Dark Thirty. I thought Catherine Bigelow did a great job considering everything that was up against her. So you really could have put any of them in here, and you really could swap any of them out, and they all deserve the nom, I think. But I think that's why they got the Best Picture nom. They all couldn't go in here. And the next one we'll have is a Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role. To me, there's only one real winner here, but we'll see what you guys have to think. The nominees are Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook. So who do you guys like in this category?
Anne Hathaway. I mean, while I didn't think Les Mis was great overall, her performance absolutely stole the show, even though she's only in the movie for like 30 minutes, a quarter of the movie. But when she leaves, I mean, the movie does taper off. So, and the song she sings, I Dreamed a Dream, the emotion she shows in her eyes while she's singing, it's probably one of the best scenes of the year.
Yeah, from my understanding, once again, not seen Les Mis, but I believe she's kind of the front runner here. But I know there has been awesome talk about Amy Adams and The Master, same thing. As far as of those that I have seen, I don't know why Sally Field is nominated. Her performance of Mary Todd Lincoln in Lincoln is just reaching. She's trying to channel Sybil from back in the 70s, and it's just not working. I don't know why she's up. Also, Jackie Weaver, I have no clue why she got a nomination for Silver Linings Playbook. There's just honestly nothing that gives an edge. When you see a performance get nominated for an Oscar, there's some reason of this transcended not just the character, but the way the actor portrayed it. There has to be some reason. And Jackie Weaver is just like, hey, this is me, and I'm playing this role. Except for the scene in the attic when Bradley Cooper's character is like tearing through things, trying to find his wedding video. There was some real emotion I felt from Jackie Weaver's character at that point, but overall, I just never felt anything from her.
Yeah, there was an article that I was reading earlier today that basically was saying that Jackie Weaver should have been nominated for Best Facial Expressions in a movie. Like, that's what she should have been nominated for, because that's what she was really good at in this movie. I'm a wholehearted agreement with you with what you were just saying with everything there. If there's one nomination that Silver Linings Playbook has that probably shouldn't be there, it's definitely this one by far. I didn't see The Sessions, but from what I've heard, Helen Hunt's performance is okay, but it's not the greatest. And I'm really going to have to agree with you and Nate on this one. I think Anne Hathaway for Les Mis is going to win it. And the main reasons I think she's going to win it is, one, she's only been nominated a couple times, right? I don't think she's won one. And her song in this film, I Dreamed a Dream, like Nate was saying, is incredible. And a song like that is just, it's really sad and it's heartbreaking, and she does a really great job with it. And it's hard not to vote for something like that. And she does a really great job of drawing you in. I think the one thing against her, like Nate said, is she's hardly in the movie, and that kind of takes away from it a little bit. But I think the one scene alone, I think, is what people and voters are going to look at, and that's probably what they'll vote for her on.
Yeah, I was going to say that has not stopped, you know, lack of being in a film has not stopped Academy Award voters before. Looking at Hannibal Lecter, played by Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, he's in the film for, I'd say, like Nate said, about a quarter of it. He's really not the focus of that film, and yet he not only got nominated but won. Also looking at Judi Dench as Queen Elizabeth in Shakespeare in Love, also gets that
win. That was a joke, and we talked about that last week.
I'm just saying, no, Judi Dench was actually quite good. The film winning Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan, sure. However, my point is, the Academy doesn't seem to judge by that way, so I actually still am going to believe Anne Hathaway will win.
And that is
this.
A good point. If I was a voter, though, the one I would consider that a little bit. I do think their performance is great, and like I said, the song itself is just worth voting for. But I loved Amy Adams in The Master. I thought she was terrific. What she has to do in this movie alongside her husband is really weird, and it's crazy. And there are some scenes that she does with Philip Seymour Hoffman that is incredibly uncomfortable to watch. And I couldn't imagine performing that, let alone just being on set and watching it, or as a viewer watching it in the movie. And if you've seen the movie, you know a couple of those scenes that I'm talking about. It's just really uncomfortable, and I think she really she does a really great job of helping him make you believe in the cause and what they're trying to do with whatever that cult was. I thought she did a really great job alongside Philip Seymour Hoffman, who was also terrific in the movie. So Amy Adams would definitely be my pick for sure for this category. But I do think overall Anne Hathaway will win. And I'm not going to be upset when she does either. Moving on to best performance by an actor in a supporting role. And this list here, I think, is the most difficult of any category, in my opinion. You have Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master, Tommy Lee Jones in Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. Now, you could just flip a coin, but who do you guys like in this one?
Well, my top two are Alan Arkin and Christoph Waltz. I just saw Argo a couple days ago, and Alan Arkin might have been my favorite part in that whole movie. He plays a snarky Hollywood producer guy, and he provides the humor in that movie, and he's really funny. Some of the things he says is just, it's really funny. And his role reminded me a lot of his role in Little Miss Sunshine, in which he played the grandpa and he won the Oscar for that. So I really enjoyed him, but I think Christoph Waltz is going to win this. He plays a bounty hunter, and he is just great. I mean, he plays, I guess, a good guy bounty hunter. And, it's not a role I would expect him to play, but he does a great job with it. And you can obviously tell he loves working with Tarantino, as he did on Inglourious Basterds, and he loves spouting that dialogue. And I think he's going to be working with Tarantino for a long time, and I can't wait to see what they come up with next. What do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm looking at Christoph Waltz as the front runner here. I'd love to see him win, especially now that he is playing a good guy here instead of a bad guy, because he'd been kind of pigeonholed for a little while there in a chain of films where he just kept playing an evil character, and to actually see a character with a heart here. I'd love to see the recognition. He also won the Golden Globe, so I see it happening for him. I know Alan Arkin has won before, and albeit I did love him in this role, he just blends into the character amazingly, and is snarky is the absolute right word, but an endearing snarky. So I'd love to see him win, but I don't see it as a standout performance. Though I don't understand why Robert De Niro is nominated for Silver Linings Playbook compared to acting that he used to give in the 70s and the 80s, a la Taxi Driver, Godfather, Raging Bull. He's just settled into being old and dull, at least in my opinion. And I'd honestly prefer him in Meet the Parents than in Silver Linings Playbook. And then Tommy Lee Jones, one we've not mentioned, his role is absolutely fantastic in Lincoln. He's an actor I've always just kind of looked at as this dramatic action hero, kind of without much of a heart to his character. But then to actually see him put depth in this role and just real raw emotion and just feeling exposed, I loved Tommy Lee Jones for it, but my pick is four to win, and my favorite is Christoph Waltz.
Wow, Matthew, I'm really starting to develop a love-hate relationship with your picks. So I 1,000% disagree with you on some of it. I loved Alan Arkin in Argo. He's probably my favorite to want to win. I thought the humor he brought to that movie was awesome. And like you said, his snarkiness is perfect for it. I think he brings a different side to the movie that's more serious and very dramatic. And he brings a different tone to the movie that otherwise wouldn't be there, I don't think. So he pulls it off masterfully. And I loved Robert De Niro in Silver Linings. He probably is my favorite of all the actors, quite honestly. This is by far his best performance in a really, really long time, probably since Men of Honor, which was, I believe, 2000. So, which is easily, and there's nothing else that he did, I think, in the 2000s that I liked outside of that movie. So, I don't care for his performance and really anything, especially the comedy stuff that he's really done. So, Meet the Parents was a joke to me, and I didn't really like it very much. So, and it really wasn't all Robert De Niro, though. It's not like his performance is the reason I didn't like it, but I didn't think he was particularly great in it at all. But I thought he was fantastic in this movie. I thought he brought some of his older stuff back, and I thought he, with where he took this character, and he really developed a relationship with Bradley Cooper that I thought was a really prominent in this movie, and it really came out of him. So I thought just the way that his inner demons in this movie were really portrayed, and then it really started to come out toward the end, and I thought he just really did a really great job with portraying that. I think he tried to take over some of the scenes when he was in it with the character, but I also think that fits the personality for the character that he was portraying. So I thought he did a great job. Philip Seymour Hoffman was also great in The Master, with what he did with that character and just making you, it's really believable with the way that he, with what he's doing with that character and the cause and all that sort of stuff. I thought he did a phenomenal job. I'm not a huge Hoffman fan, but with this movie, I definitely was on board with what he was doing there. But Tommy Lee Jones and Christoph Waltz, like you guys are saying, is probably my favorite, or my favorite to win anyway. I like Alan Arkin to win it all, but it'll probably come down to Jones or Christoph Waltz. But what's interesting is most of the stuff that I've read online is really either going to Tommy Lee Jones or Philip Seymour Hoffman. I haven't read a whole lot about Christoph Waltz actually taking home this award. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think he will, seeing that he's won the Golden Globe, and at least I thought popularly this was one of the best films. However,
yeah, and
beyond that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and kind of like what you're saying, Nate, just the relationship he has with Tarantino is really great, and I think that really, really helps out with it a lot too. So moving on, we're running out of time, so we'll try to get through these a little bit, but we have a Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role. The nominees are Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, and it is your favorite, Nate. You want to try it? You want to try your name?
Q Wallace.
Quavon Janae
Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild, and Naomi Watts for The Impossible.
You best so show some respect to Quavon Janae.
Now, this is an interesting thing here. So you have Quavon Janae Wallace, who was 6 years old, and you have Emmanuel Riva, who is 85, I believe. So we have totally different sides of the spectrum here. Do you guys think that'll play into them possibly winning this award?
I honestly see both of them pushed to the sidelines, unfortunately, because I think the Academy might look at it as, oh, it's awesome that she's young, but we're kind of ignore her. And then Emmanuel Riva, same thing. And then I think they're going to pick middle ground, to be honest with you. looking at either Chastain or Lawrence for it. Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook was honestly one of the only things besides Chris Tucker I actually liked about Silver Linings Playbook. She was, I think I'm actually starting to like her as an actress.
She's done a lot of great things lately.
But to see Jessica Chastain was my favorite, and I love that she's finally been nominated for an Oscar. And just the raw emotion that's on her face throughout that film was one of my favorite things about Zero Dark Thirty. So I'm going to plug for Chastain.
Do you like the one-liner she has?
Oh, yeah. Like the way she just plays off pretty much everything in the film really well. She just carries the dialogue.
Because a lot of people have said that that's the one thing that is going up against her in this is some of the way she comes across, I guess, in some of that stuff. I know I particularly liked it too, but...
Yeah, I liked it. And then as far as Emmanuel Riva in Amour, I loved her in it. I mean, just the way she plays it, albeit she's not speaking hardly any of the film, the acting is phenomenal, where I felt like almost I was watching more of a documentary than a fiction film because it looked realistic. And then Clavangene Wallace once again carries that film. But I just feel both Riva and Wallace are just two risky picks for the Academy.
Yeah, I'm going with Jessica Chastain. She carries Zero Dark Thirty. I mean, we see all the events take place through her eyes. I mean, she's fierce and determined, and I think that's where those one-liners come from. I think that's just part of her character. And I think Matthew and I were talking about this after you saw it, about there's a shot at the end of the movie on an airplane or something, and just the look on her face, it's like worried and happy all in the same thing. And it's, I mean, that's just kind of what she does throughout the whole movie. And yeah, I mean, I'm giving it to her.
Yeah, I love the emotion that she pours out in that scene. And I think it really captivates really what she's going through in the whole movie, really. I mean, because she's working so hard all the time, and she dedicates her life to this one thing, and then it's over. Now, what is she supposed to do with her life? And I think she just really does it really well. And I agree with you, Nat. I think she really carried that movie fantastically.
I think the only downside with her, and this may have to do more with the script than her acting, but there's really no backstory on her. We don't really know where she's been. I mean, we don't really know her whole deal.
But that's actually kind of an awesome thing to do for a film like that. I mean, you think of someone being put in a situation like that, in intelligence, in a military situation. You don't get to know someone in those situations necessarily and to know everything of who they are. It's about the mission. It's about what they're doing.
They do tell us, though, that she was... she was recruited right out of high school into the FBI or the CIA or whatever. They do mention that. So there's a little bit of a backstory, but it's not in detail or anything. For this award, I really want to give it to either Emmanuel Riva or Clavangene Wallace. I think those are be my favorite to win it, and she just really carries Beasts of the Southern Wild so perfectly. It's amazing. Like, I love that scene at the end where she's just facing the beast, like face to face, and just really
epic,
you know, telling him to back down, and just showing her strength and her courage and what it takes to go through something like that. The fact that she lights the torch at the end at 6 years old to go through something like that and then basically send him away like she did at the end it's just incredible. I mean, the performance you get at that age is just really unheard of a lot of the time. So my favorite, I think, to win it, though, is going to be Jennifer Lawrence. I think she will ultimately win it anyway. Moving on, we're going to go to Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role. A lot of great performances here, too. We have Bradley Cooper for Silver Linings Playbook, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, Joaquin Phoenix for The Master, and Denzel Washington for Flight. So based off of this, I think there's a unanimous decision here between the three of us. At least there was on the site earlier, and Nate tends to change his mind a lot, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not changing my pick for this one. I mean, this is by far the easiest category to predict, and it's going to go to Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, he just disappears into the role as Lincoln. I mean, you can't even tell he's acting. I mean, you think he is Lincoln. Yeah. And yeah, he's going to win his third Best Actor Oscar, be the first one to do that. So yeah.
Yeah, this is not a category I'm actually very versed in, because I've not seen three of the four here. I've not seen Les Mis, The Master, or Flight, but I don't feel it was necessary to have seen them, because I did see Lincoln, and Daniel Day-Lewis is Lincoln. I didn't honestly believe Daniel Day-Lewis's performance in There Will Be Blood could be topped, but then he was Lincoln.
There are very few nominations that I really don't think that should be here. A couple of them, you know, go back to Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook. I didn't really care for Naomi Watts in The Impossible either. I thought the movie was okay. It was a little overrated, I thought. And I really didn't like Denzel in The Flight. Well, let me backtrack. I thought he was okay, but I felt like the performance was actually very easy. Like, I think when you watch the movie, I don't feel like it was a very difficult role. I think he does a good job, but I feel like anyone, you could throw any actor into that role and that character, and they could do a good job and be nominated for an Oscar. It wasn't necessarily anything great by any means. I liked Joaquin Phoenix a lot more, even though the characters were kind of the same when it comes to the struggles that they have. And I thought Joaquin Phoenix did a way better job, even though it's a lot more of a complex story than Flight. I liked that way better than what Denzel did in Flight.
Fun little factoid about this category is that 6 of the past 10 winners have played real people. I mean, you have guys like Adrian Brody for The Pianist, Jamie Foxx and Ray, Sean Penn and Milk, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Capote. So, yeah, I think Daniel Day-Lewis has an excellent shot to win.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think you would agree too, Matthew. I mean, I think DDL is the one to go here with Lincoln. And like you were saying, Nate, everything that he does in that movie makes you think that he is Lincoln. I mean, he really disappears. And even was a lot, there's a lot of the movie where he's not doing anything political. He's just telling stories. And you're sitting there thinking, I could just listen to him tell stories for 2 hours and enjoy it.
I would.
Do you have any other thoughts, Matthew?
I mean, it's one I already know is going to happen, but it's one that I'm just excited to see it happen, just because Daniel Day-Lewis is one of my favorite actors, and to see him win for this crowning achievement in his career, I just can't wait to see it happen.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see, and we all know he's going to win it, so it's going to be real fun for him. So he's terrific. He definitely deserves it. All right, moving on to the big enchilada for the evening.
Yeah.
With Best Picture, so we have really awesome 9 movies here that I really, really enjoy all of them a lot. So this is the one year I really am glad I'm not a voter for the Academy. Most of the time I wish I was, because I think they vote terribly most of the time. But I couldn't imagine voting out of this list. I love all of them. And the list is Moore, Argo, Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. So what we're going to do for this one is we actually did reviews for all 9 of these on our website at incisionfilm.com. Go and check them out before the Oscars, and even after the Oscars. There's some really good stuff there. And we all did 3 each. So I'd like for all of us to just kind of talk about the ones that we did and kind of bounce off of that a little bit and just kind of go through these a little bit. And then we'll give our predictions at the end for it. So and I'll go first. And the first one that I did or on the list anyway that I like to talk about is Amore, which is a really fun movie. We've talked about it quite a bit already with what Michael Haneke did with this. I know, Matthew, you had something about the score and about what I gave it on the review. I gave it an F because there is no score, and that is what I really like about movies. And so the fact that there wasn't one, I had to give it an F. It was very quiet and very weird, and I know you kind of liked that.
Yeah, the fact that it had no score was one of the assets of the film. It didn't need it. It knew it was a quiet film, but it knew that the story and the characters were enough to propel it forward. And I loved the ballsy move to do that because, I mean, No Country for Old Men did it, and it worked perfectly, too, for that.
A good point.
So, I mean, I loved Amour, but I just don't see it getting that much recognition this year.
And I agree. I don't think it really has any chance at winning this, but I did like the movie a lot. And while I wish there was a score, and that's just because I particularly like that, I love the story here. I think it's got a great script. I think it does everything in here that I really would want out of this movie. I was really captivated by the emotion that this movie has, and just the story between this old couple that's trying to cling on to, you know, all the hope they can and what they're going through. And I thought it was done absolutely terrifically. We'll move on to the next one. Matthew, what do you have for your first one?
My first one will be Lincoln. I was quite a fan of this film, but it is I'm least excited about it of all the nominees that I've seen. Lincoln is an epic biopic, yet it never feels sprawling or too much all over the place. Spielberg actually keeps quite a tight hand over the film by just never letting it run out of control. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, carries the film as well as many of the supporting actors like Tommy Lee Jones and James Spader. And so I'd love to see it get recognition in another year. But I feel way too many of the other films nominated this year overshadow Lincoln as a whole.
See, now I think it's going to be one of the front runners. I personally think it's going to come between this movie and Argo. Is what I think. Now, I do love all of them, and I would personally vote for quite a number of these, but I think what the Academy is going to come down to is this one and Argo. What was the score or the grade that you gave this one on the website?
I believe I gave this either an A or an A-. I don't recall which.
I believe it was an A-.
A-, yeah.
I also gave an A- to Amour, too. But should be fun to see what happens. Nate, what's the first one that you have on your list?
First one on my list is Argo. Argo is easily one of my favorite movies of the year. Ben Affleck, he's now 3 for 3 as a director after Gone Baby Gone and The Town. I think this is probably his best movie. The performances, I think this has one of the best assembled casts of last year. I mean, with guys like Affleck and Bryan Cranston and Alan Arkin and John Goodman and so on and so on. And the way they all interact with each other is great. The story, I mean, if you didn't know it was based on a true story, I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to guess. And then the score really adds to the movie. And then some of the songs they used, which were from the period, like songs from Van Halen and Led Zeppelin, really added to the overall vibe of the movie. So yeah, I gave Argo an A.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with you on all that. I thought everything that you had on the review was right in the line with my thinking of it too. I loved everything that Affleck has done. As you mentioned, we've talked a little bit about this movie quite a bit already. So, I guess we'll move on to the next one. And the next one on the list is Silver Linings Playbook. Which I'm finding out that Matthew doesn't really like very much.
Not at all.
I like this movie quite a bit. I thought it was fantastic. This movie has gotten a lot of nominations already, and for good reason, in my opinion. This movie is nominated for 8 Oscars. It's already won 39 awards and has been nominated for 57 total already. And I love what David O. Russell does in this movie, and we've talked about it a lot already, but when every single actor in this movie is set up to do a really great job, you know it's got a great script and the direction is where it needs to be. And kind of like what you said earlier, even Chris Tucker is portrayed as fun to watch, which is something I've probably never said about Chris Tucker before in my life. I thought he was even great in this movie. So I'll just give him a side Oscar nomination so that way everyone, the whole cast, yes, gets something.
Everyone deserves an Oscar nomination just for showing up.
Just for showing up. So I love this movie. I thought it was really great. The score by Danny Elfman wasn't the greatest from him. I like a lot of different stuff from him, but I think it fits this movie and what he was trying to do with it. It's very laid back and very much in the background, but I think it fits. So I gave an overall grade of an A for Silver Linings Playbook.
My next one I got is Django Unchained. This was one of my absolute favorite films of this year, too. Not my favorite Quentin Tarantino film by any means. I still like Reservoir Dogs and Inglourious Basterds much more than Django. However, it was still a stunning film. Tarantino just so adeptly channels his muses with Sergio Leone films and especially Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch, while also having his amazing style of ridiculous dialogue contrasted against a serious storyline. The performances are outstanding, with Waltz and Fox leading out there, as well as a lot of the supporting cast, even in cameos from Don Johnson and Jonah Hill, which don't
yeah,
make
that was
any kind sense.
Of crazy. We haven't really talked yeah. about that a whole lot, but
they don't make any sense being in the film, yet it heightens it and it says, "Oh, I'm watching a Tarantino yeah. film right now."
Didn't Tarantino say that was the funniest scene that he's ever written, or something?
Yeah,
like
I think it was. I mean, it was one of the most overtly comic scenes he's ever made, unless you want to consider, you know, From Dusk Till Dawn a comedy. I don't think it was supposed to be, but yeah. It was one of my favorites. I'd love to see it win, but I still hesitate. With the Academy, I don't know how much love they still are going to give to Tarantino in Best Picture form.
Sure. It was a really great movie, though, and I really enjoyed it a lot. And again, as with every Tarantino movie, just about, one of my favorite parts is the music. He has such crazy music elements into this, and it's done very, very well. I kind of agree with you, and the grade you gave it was
an A.
My next movie is Zero Dark Thirty. Like Argo, I gave Zero Dark Thirty an A. While Jessica Chastain is awesome and the script is very well done, we've already talked about both those, but I think this movie, the best part of this movie is the raid sequence at the end. It's the way Catherine Bigelow filmed it is just, it's incredible. I mean, it's very gripping. It's very real. I mean, it's like you're right there. And especially when you consider that it takes place at night, and yet you still know what's going on, where everybody's at. It just, yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah, I loved it too. I thought it was really good. So, I mean, just to kind of add on to that, I think Zero Dark Thirty would have been, it probably would have been up there, I think, for a really great chance to win if it wasn't for the controversy that surrounds it. I think as a movie itself, it really has a lot to offer. And we've talked about the performances already and the score and the way the script was really laid out. I thought it was terrific and done really, really well. The last one that I did was Les Mis, and I think I'm the only one out of the three of us that feels this way, but which is okay. But I loved this movie. I absolutely had a great time with it. I loved what Tom Hooper did here, and I loved his direction to have them live seeing on set. I thought that really gave the actors a chance to really bring their A game here, and which I think we got. We've talked about Anne Hathaway and probably winning because of the one song that she's really known for in this film, and I think her having a chance to sing it live there, and I saw an interview where she was talking about it and how they did several different takes of it and how he led her through it and how they got to the final cut of what they did. And I think with what he was doing here, it was absolutely terrific. I love the screenplay. I thought, you know, a lot of the times sometimes it's hard to take musicals and translate them to the big screen. And I thought he did a fantastic job here. I really loved Hugh Jackman in it. I thought he did a fantastic job. I didn't really care for Russell Crowe a whole lot, but it doesn't really take away necessarily from the movie. I actually think Russell Crowe fits the character itself, with, you know, being a ruthless police officer. I think that part fits him. He just didn't have a really great voice to really go along with the character. And the music is a lot of fun. I loved Les Mis, and I gave it an A.
Yeah, and my last one is Beasts of the Southern Wild. This is pretty much reigning as my top film of this year. It was a film I had really heard nothing about, and then when I just sat down one day and decided to watch it, I was blown away. It just creates a world that the characters just exist in, where there's no question of, you know, is this real or does this make sense? Or, you know, and it does walk that fine line of, is this reality? Could this be reality? I mean, as JD's mentioned before, like, there are legitimately people here who live that way, but it still has almost a fantastical feeling to it. To see also Ben Zeitlin's first feature film is ridiculous, to see how good quality this made.
And he's only 26 years old, too, so it'll be fun to see what other stuff he can come out with, because he's got a whole career ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he starts at the pinnacle, and hopefully it only rises from there. I don't want to see him drop anything, but I love that he's already been getting recognition for this film. And then to look at the performances, I mean, all were unknown actors, especially Quvenzhané Wallace just carrying the film. And
she's terrific. She's worth watching this movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see more from Ben Zeitlin and the others in the future. Yeah.
If you haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend you go to the website and check out Matthew's review of this. It's really, really good stuff, and the picture he has to go along with it really sets the tone for the movie and for the review, and it's really worth checking out. I kind of tend to agree with you. I think between this and Life of Pi is probably my top films from last year, too. While I don't think it's going to win, it probably is my personal favorite, too. All right, Nate, what's your last one?
My last one and the last one overall is Life of Pi. We've already talked about this a ton tonight. Visuals were awesome, astounding. And what Ang Lee was able to do with an unknown cast led by a newbie teenage actor is just something that's really hard to do, especially when the main characters that actors working with are CGI animals. Then the score, we've talked about that, and just the story, a captivating story. And I mean, it's just a very well done movie, and I gave it a B+, which I'm going to keep with my theme tonight, and I'm going to change that to an A. So it's an A.
And I 1000% agree with that. And again, another great review that Nate did. Go check it out on the website. Highly recommend it again. Those two movies are fantastic. I loved all of the nominations here. I really enjoyed every single one of them. But fellas, it is time to make your pick. You have to pick one of these nine. Who are you going with, Matthew?
Argo. I think Argo's going to win. It was one of my favorites. I'd love to see it win, and I really think the Academy's going to recognize it.
Does Ben Affleck not being nominated hurt that film?
Actually, I believe it helps it, because I think the Academy realizes, with all the backlash about Ben Affleck not being nominated, somehow he's got to be honored, so I think they'll give him Best Picture.
That's a great point. Nate, who do you like to win?
Totally agree with Matthew. I'm going with Argo on this one.
Man, you guys are not making this easy for me at all. I do think it'll come down to Lincoln or Argo, and my heart is leaning toward Argo also, and a lot of with what you just said, Matthew, I think is the reason why. So I think Argo does win Best Picture. So it's a unanimous between everyone here at In Session Film. So that'll about do it. So the last thing that we have is, I know there's several categories that we haven't talked about. So just real quickly before we get out of here, fellas, is there any other categories or other nominations or anything that you wanted to talk about before we get out of here?
I was quite taken by this year's animated short film. And all of them I watched were quite fantastic, except maybe The Simpsons Longest Daycare. It was fun, but I don't know why it's nominated. My favorite was Paperman out of all of them. Just a really romantic and just heart-wrenching story. Like, it's 7 minutes and I almost wanted to cry by the end of it. It was awesome.
It was really good. I did enjoy it a lot.
And then looking at Adam and Dog is a really awesome story of the kind of the creation story and just this friendship between, you know, Adam and this dog with no dialogue. Also, same like Paperman. Actually, I don't think, none of these actually have any dialogue in them. Fresh Guacamole is awesome in the fact that just visually it's really cool, and I love, I just love the way it looked with, you know, a grenade turning into an avocado. Things like that were ridiculous. And Head Over Heels is okay. It's heart-wrenching, kind of like Paperman, but just didn't have just the same depth of emotion that Paperman had.
Yeah, the Paperman short is amazing. It's definitely worth going to check out. It's actually up on our website at incessionfilm.com if you want to go check it out. It's really, really cool. One other category I just wanted to mention real quickly is the production design. I really loved the design and everything in Les Mis. I thought it really captured a lot of what they were trying to do with that movie, and it really brought some of the visuals to the forefront that I really enjoyed quite a bit. So, and again, for sound editing, I really want Life of Pi to win this one too, because along with the visuals, it's got stunning audio. It just really matches everything perfectly with what Ang Lee did with this movie. It's incredible. So, Nate, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'm going to go a different route with this and talk about an omission that I'm kind of not happy about, and that is The Gray, which was my favorite movie of 2012. Got zero nominations. I know it came out in January, and that's a little early, but it's a fantastic movie, and Liam Neeson gives a powerhouse performance. The emotion he displays is just fantastic, and I'm really disappointed that it didn't get recognized at all.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one. And that came out in January, I believe, of last year. So it's hard for those January movies to make it all the way through. But there's a scene in that movie that's really interesting where he's talking about you know, walking a guy through dying in that movie, which is really, really interesting. So, like I said, there's a lot of interesting characterization in that movie, and a lot of emotional stuff that he does with that one. So. And it's a lot better than Taken 2. So that'll about do it for us before we get out of here. Just once again, this podcast is brought to you by Phoenix Blue Marketing and Advertising. Get all your marketing and advertising and design done through Phoenix Blue. Go to their website at phoenixblue.com. Again, check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/phxblue and follow them on Twitter at @phx_blue. And also, again, once again, we're having a Facebook contest that you can check out on our Facebook page at facebook.com/incessionfilm, where you can win a lot of movie tickets for free. So go do that and sign up. We'll probably continue that for the next week or so. Go check that out. Also, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, and you can also do it on our website. So any final thoughts, fellas?
Just see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Agreed.
I think Nate's really tired. I think he's ready to go home. So everyone have a great night. Have fun watching the Oscars. And again, check out the podcast, and we'll have one up next week. Until then, we'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Have a great week next week.